Good afternoon. Welcome to Oremus Communications Internet Radio. This is Emily Osmond.
And Bob Pert.
Winnie Thompson.
Bebs Martinez.
From the Legion of Mary, Wilmington, Delaware, Curia, United States of America. We're broadcasting from St. Mary of the Assumption Catholic Church in Hokesson, Delaware. Today is May 24th, 2019. And on Sunday, May 26th, is the Feast of St. Philip Neri. So after we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet, we will talk about the life of St. Philip Neri. And then we will read about how long is Jesus present in the Eucharist after we have received communion. And also, since it's Padre Pio's birthday tomorrow, May 25th, we will share with you his biography. Finally, we will pray the Legion of Mary prayers. So please stay tuned after the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. A fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Bob and Winnie will talk about St. Philip now.
St. Philip Neri, feast day is May 26th. For 45 years, St. Philip Neri evangelized thousands of people at Rome, from the poor to the popes. Philip won their hearts with his consistent kindness and jovial sense of humor. He became known as the Second Apostle of Rome because his ministry promoted a general return to the Christian living. You can get a feel for the saint's attractiveness in his maxims like these. The best preparation for prayer is to read the lives of saints, not from mere curiosity, but quietly and with recollection a little at a time, and to pause whenever you feel your heart touched with devotion. Or, he who does not go to hell in his lifetime runs a great risk of going there when he dies. Another, never try to evade the cross that God sends you, for you will only find a heavier one. Philip Neri was born in Florence on July 21, 1515, as one of four children to Francesco Neri. From a very young age, Philip was known for being cheerful and obedient. He was affectionately referred to as Good Little Phil. He received his early teachings from friars at the Dominican monastery in Florence, San Marco. At 18 years old, Philip went off to live with a wealthy family member and San Germano. He was sent there to assist and possibly inherit the family business. However, soon after his arrival, Philip experienced a mystical vision, which he eventually spoke of as his Christian conversion. This event was an encounter with the Lord, and it dramatically changed his life. He soon lost interest in owning property or participating in business. He felt a call from the Holy Spirit to radically live for and serve the Lord Jesus Christ and his church, so Philip set out for Rome. Once in Rome, Philip was the living tutor for fellow Florentine sons. Under Philip's guidance, the two boys improved all aspects of life and faith, proving Philip's special talent for human relationships and bringing out the best in people. During his first 2 years in Rome, Philip spent his time in a solitary life. He also dedicated a lot of time to prayer. He ate very small meals of bread, water, and a few vegetables, practicing ascetical life. In 1535, Philip began studying theology and philosophy at Sapienza and at St. Augustine's Monastery. Although he was considered a promising scholar, after 3 years of study, Philip gave up any thought of ordination. He set out to help the poor people of Rome and to re-evangelize the city. Sadly, Rome had lost its first love and its inhabitants were no longer really living as Christians. He began to talk to people on street corners and in public squares. He made acquaintances in places where people commonly gathered. Philip, compared to Socrates, had a knack for starting up conversations and leading his listeners to consider a new and better way of life. It also had an incredible sense of humor. He encouraged groups of people to gather for discussions, studies, prayer, and the enjoyment of music. His customary question was, "Well, brothers, when shall we begin to do good?" Losing no time in converting good conversation to good actions, Philip would lead his followers to hospitals to wait on the sick, or to the church to pray and to encounter Jesus Christ. In short, Philip was an evangelist. He loved to share the gospel and help people to find and rediscover their faith in Jesus Christ. His days were dedicated to helping others, but his nights were set aside for solitude, spent praying in the church or in the catacombs beside the Appian Way. In 1544, on the eve of Pentecost, Philip saw what appeared to be a globe of fire. It is said the fire entered his mouth, causing Philip to feel his heart dilate. Philip was filled with such proximance as divine love that caused him to scream out, "Enough, enough, Lord, I can bear no more." Philip then discovered a swelling over his heart, though it caused him no pain. In 1548, with the help of his confessor, Father Persiano Rossa, Philip founded a confraternity for poor laymen to meet for spiritual exercises and service of the poor, the Confraternity of the Most Holy Trinity. Philip's appealing nature won him over friends from all society levels, including that of Ignatius of Loyola, Pope Pius V, and Charles Borromeo. At 34 years old, Philip had already accomplished so much that his confessor was determined that his work would be more effective as a priest. Finally convinced, Philip was ordained to the deaconate and then the priesthood on May 23, 1551. From there, Philip went to live with Father Rossa and other priests in San Girolamo and carried on his mission, but mostly through the confessional. Before sunup until sundown, Philip spent hours sitting and listening to people of all ages. Sometimes Philip broke out in formal discussions for those who desired to live a better life. He spoke to them about Jesus, the saints, and the martyrs.
Influenced by St. Francis Xavier, Philip thought of going to India to join foreign missions field, but was dissuaded by his peers because Rome still needed Philip's ministry and influence. A large home was built above the church of San Girolamo to tend to Philip's growing number of pilgrims, and other priests were called on to assist him. Philip and the priests were soon called the Oratorians because they would ring a bell to call the faithful in their oratory. The foundation of the Congregation of the Priests of the Oratory would be laid a few years later with members who encouraged others to deepen their faith. Philip's rule for them was simple: share a common table and to perform spiritual exercises. Philip didn't want his followers to bind themselves to life with a vow and then not want them to denounce their property. Philip's organization was officially approved by Pope Gregory XIII in 1575. The congregation was given an ancient church, but Philip made quick decision to demolish it because the structure was in ruins and the size was not large enough. He had plans of rebuilding on a larger scale. People from all over, including Charles Borromeo and Pope Gregory, contributed financially toward the rebuilding. By April 1577, the new church was completed enough for the Congregation of the Oratory to be transferred there, but Philip stayed at San Girolamo for another 7 years. Philip was constantly in a crowd of people. He allowed his followers free access to him and continued hearing confessions and engaging in ministry and prayer. In the words of one of its biographers, Philip was all things to all men. When he was called upon to be Mary, he was so. If there was a demand upon his sympathy, he was equally ready. Philip was respected and loved throughout Rome. He became a trusted advisor to popes, kings, cardinals, and equally as important, to the poor. He wholeheartedly desired the reform of the Catholic Church and worked toward that with a sense of gentleness and friendship, rather than criticism and harshness. His efforts to reach out to the lay people of Rome and not simply associate with clergy made him one of the great figures in the Counter-Reformation of the Catholic Church. Sadly, the Catholic Church had fallen into clericalism. He soon earned the title Apostle of Rome. On the feast of Corpus Christi, May 25, 1595, Philip was told by his physician that he was not healthy. He had not looked well for 10 years. Philip realized his time had come to pass on to the Lord. For the remainder of the day, he listened to confessions and saw his visitors as normal. Before heading off to bed, Philip stated, "Last of all, we must die." Around midnight of May 26, 1595, Philip suffered a hemorrhage and passed away at 80 years old. His body lays in the new church where the Oratorians still serve. St. Philip Neri was beatified by Pope Paul V on May 11, 1615, and canonized by Pope Gregory XV on March 12, 1622. He is the patron saint of Rome, U.S. Special Forces, humor, and joy, and his feast day is celebrated May 26.
Now, the question, how long is Jesus present in the Eucharist after we have received communion? By Philip Kozlowski from Aletheia.org. We have to pay proper respect to our Lord. The great treasure of the Catholic Church is the Eucharist. Jesus himself, hidden under the appearances of bread and wine. We believe, as the Catechism states, that in the most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist, the body and blood, together with the soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore the whole Christ, is truly, really, and substantially contained. Additionally, this real presence of Christ in the Eucharist does not end immediately when we receive him at communion time. The Catechism goes on to explain how. The Eucharistic presence of Christ begins at the moment of the consecration and endures as long as the Eucharistic species subsists. What does that mean when we receive him into our mouths? How long does Jesus' real presence remain in our bodies? There is a famous story from the life of Saint Philip Neri that helps answer that question. One day, while he was celebrating Mass, a man received Holy Communion and left the church early. The man appeared to have no regard for the presence within him. And so, Philip Neri decided to use this opportunity as a teaching moment. He sent two altar boys with lighted candles to follow the man outside of the church. After a while, walking through the streets of Rome, the man turned around to see the altar boys still following him. Confused, the man returned to the church and asked Philip Neri why he sent the altar boys. Saint Philip Neri responded by saying, "We have to pay proper respect to our Lord, whom you are carrying away with you. Since you neglect to adore him, I sent two acolytes to take your place." The man was stunned by the response and resolved to be more aware of God's presence in the future. It is generally assumed that the Eucharistic species of bread remains for about 15 minutes after reception. This is based on simple biology, reflects the Catechism's statement that the presence of Christ endures as long as the Eucharistic species subsists. This is why many saints have recommended offering 15 minutes of prayer after receiving the Eucharist as a thanksgiving to God. This allows the soul to savor the presence of God and have a true heart-to-heart with Jesus. In our faith-based world, it is often difficult to remain long after Mass. But that doesn't mean we can't at least pray a brief Mass prayer of thanksgiving. The main point is that we need to remember Jesus' presence in the Eucharist, stays with us for several minutes, and presents us with a special time when we can commune with our Lord and feel His love within us.
Okay, since it's Padre Pio's birthday tomorrow, we're reading from his biography at www.biographyonline.net by Tivian Pettinger. Saint Pio Pius of Pietrelcina was a Capuchin Catholic priest from Italy who is venerated as a saint. During his lifetime, he became known for bearing the stigmata, wounds of Christ. His followers attributed several miracles to his intervention. Other people, including those from within the Catholic Church, were more skeptical about his supernatural experiences. However, despite being scrutinized by the Church during much of his life, his reputation rose during the papacy of St. John Paul II. Padre Pio was canonized on June 16, 2002. Padre Pio was born Francesco Forgione on May 25, 1887 in Pietrelcina in Campania, southern Italy. His parents were poor peasant farmers. They were also deeply religious and celebrated the main religious festivals of the region. From an early age, Pio displayed strong religious inclinations and voluntarily undertook penances such as sleeping on a stone, even when young. Francesco helped his family looking after livestock until he was 10 years old, and so he gained only a limited education. When he first applied to join the Capuchin order, he was told he had to go and gain more education first. After gaining some private tuition, in 1903, at the age of 15, he entered the novitiate of the Capuchin friars at Morcone, where he took the name Friar Pio. The Capuchins are an offshoot of the Franciscan order founded by Saint Francis of Assisi. The Capuchins seek to return to the extreme austerity, simplicity, and poverty envisaged by Saint Francis. Thus, the young Padre Pio took vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. After entering the friary of Saint Francis, Pio experienced both severe illnesses and moments of religious ecstasy. It was said that strange sounds could be heard from his room. Padre Pio said he would frequently be attacked by the devil, and the sounds were from the battles taking place. Despite being severely ill, he was ordained a priest in 1910 at the Cathedral of Benevento. In 1916, he moved to Our Lady of Grace Capuchin Friary, located in the San Giovanni Rotondo in Foggia. Apart from military service, he would stay there until his death. During the First World War, Padre Pio was drafted into the medical corps of the Italian army. Due to ill health, he had to take time away from his service. He was finally discharged due to ill health on March 1918. On returning to the friary, Padre Pio became a spiritual director responsible for confession, daily communion, and direction of other members of the community. Padre Pio had a great impact on those who came into contact with him. Many parishioners were inspired by his teachings and felt he had a spiritual capacity to solve their problems. In particular, he advised people to pray, meditate, and try to recognize God in all things. Through the study of books, one seeks God. By meditation, one finds him. That's according to Father Pio. Above all, he encouraged his Christian followers to seek to do the will of God and be detached from personal desire. One famous saying of his was, "Pray, hope, and don't worry." A key feature of Padre Pio's life was his persistent illness and suffering. He experienced a whole range of illness, including bronchitis, a painful kidney stone, chronic gastritis, arthritis, hernia, and a tumor on his ear. He felt that suffering could be taken away as a way to approach God. Padre Pio said that suffering in the right spirit could take the soul to God. From an early age, he reported experiencing the stigmata, the wounds of Christ, especially in the hands. He stated that a red mark appeared on his hands, accompanied by acute pain. He wrote that he prayed for the wounds to be taken away because he was embarrassed by the visible wounds. The wounds temporarily disappear, but continued to experience the pain, which was often worse on specific days. In 1918, during the last year of the First World War, he had an intense experience. Inspired by Pope Benedict XV, call for Christians to pray for the end of the war, Padre Pio offered himself as a victim for the end of the war. He then recalled having a vision where Christ appeared and pierced his side. He experienced intense pain, and fellow friars noted that Padre Pio looked as if he had died and was constantly weeping for the next few days. However, on September 20, 1918, he again experienced the wounded Christ come to him. But this time, his pain was taken away, and Padre Pio now felt a profound religious ecstasy. But his stigmata wounds returned and remained permanent throughout the next 50 years. Padre Pio reveals how he welcomed the pain, but was deeply humiliated by outer signs. Dear Father, I am dying of pain because of the wounds and the resulting embarrassment I feel deep in my soul. I am afraid I shall bleed to death if the Lord does not hear my heartfelt supplication to relieve me of this condition. Will Jesus, who is so good, grant me this grace? Will he, at least, free me from the embarrassment caused by these outward signs? I will raise my voice and will not stop imploring him until in his mercy he takes away not the wound or the pain, which is impossible, since I wish to be inebriated with pain. But these outward signs which cause me such embarrassment and unbearable humiliation.
Although Padre Pio sought to keep his stigmata private, his experience became increasingly well known. From 1919, people increasingly came to visit this extraordinary friar. People started to attribute to him divine gifts, such as levitation, miracle healings, prophecy, and the ability to survive on little food and sleep. Others claimed he was able to appear in two places at once, by location. Padre Pio became well known for his very long masses. He would frequently slip into long contemplative pauses in between various parts of the service. When asked to shorten Mass, Padre Pio replied, "God knows that I want to say Mass just like any other priest, but I cannot do it." People around Padre Pio felt he was a man constantly absorbed in prayer. Pope Paul VI said in 1971, "What fame he had! He had how many followers from around the world? Why? Was it because he was a philosopher, a scholar, or because he had means at his disposal? No. It was because he said Mass humbly, heard confessions from morning until night, and was a marked representative of the stigmata of our Lord. He was truly a man of prayer and suffering. He loved to pray the rosary and encouraged other people to do the same. Padre Pio was in the tradition of mystics who sought union with God. He felt that through prayer and meditation, the soul could be brought into union with God. It is now God Himself who acts and operates directly in the depths of my soul without the ministry of the senses, either interior or exterior. All I can say of this low reason present state is that my soul has no concern for anything but God. One usual manner of praying this, I no longer begin to pray than my soul becomes enveloped in a peace and tranquility that words cannot describe. All I can say about this prayer is that my soul seems to be completely lost in God, and that in those moments it gains more than it could in many years of intensive spiritual exercises. Padre's unique gifts made him a controversial figure. Some claimed his divine gifts were fraudulent. In the 1920s, the Vatican banned Padre Pio from hearing confessions and saying Mass. But despite official misgivings, there was a groundswell of support for Padre Pio. When the Vatican contemplated moving Padre Pio to another friary, it had to be abandoned after seeing the strength of opposition from local people. In 1933, Pope Pius XI reversed the ban and allowed Padre Pio to restart his public celebration of Mass. In 1940, he announced plans to open a hospital in San Giovanni Rotondo called Home to Relieve Suffering. The hospital opened in 1956 with the help of Barbara Ward, a British humanitarian who helped secure a grant from the United Nations Relief and Rehabilitation Administration. During the 1950s and 60s, his fame continued to spread. He was subject to further investigations by the Holy See, who sought to establish the nature of Padre Pio's miracles. On September 21st, 1968, one day after the 50th anniversary of receiving the stigmata, Padre Pio felt immense tiredness and became increasingly weak. On 22nd of September, despite great frailty, he celebrated his last Mass to a large number of pilgrims. On September 23rd, he made his last confession and renewed his Franciscan vows. He died in his cell in San Giovanni Rotondo early in the morning. His last words were, Jesu Maria, Jesus Mary. Padre Pio was buried on September 25th in the Church of Our Lady of Grace to a Requiem Mass attended by over 100,000 people. The Church of Our Lady of Grace is now one of the greatest places of Christian pilgrimages in the world. It is said that a young Pope John Paul II, then Father Carl Wojtyla, visited Padre Pio in 1947 for confession. Cardinal Stickley says that Wojtyla reported Padre Pio had predicted he would one day ascend to the highest post in the church, though further confirmation is needed. After his death, his popularity grew. When he was alive, he had said, after my death, I will do more. My real mission will begin after my death. There are an estimated 3 million members of Padre Pio prayer groups around the world. Pope John Paul II declared Padre Pio a saint on June 16, 2002. On March 8, 2008, his body was exhumed from its crypt so that it could be put on public display. Over 800,000 people applied to file past his body.
We'll now pray the Legion of Mary prayers, the Catena.
Catena Legionis, who is she that comes forth as the morning rising, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army set in battle array? My soul glorifies the Lord.
My spirit rejoices in God my Savior.
He looks on his servant in her lowliness. Henceforth, all ages will call me blessed.
The Almighty works marvels for me. Holy his name.
His mercy is from age to age on those who fear him.
He puts forth his arm in strength and scatters the proud-hearted.
He casts the mighty from their thrones and raises the lowly.
He fills the starving with good things. Sends the rich away empty.
He protects Israel, his servant, remembering his mercy.
The mercy promised to our fathers, to Abraham and his sons forever.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Who is she that comes forth as the morning rising, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army set in battle array? O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to you.
Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, our mediator with the Father, you have been pleased to appoint the most blessed Virgin, your mother, to be our mother also, and our mediatrix with you. Mercifully grant that whoever comes to you seeking your favors may rejoice to receive all of them through her. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We fly to your patronage, O Holy Mother of God. Despise not our prayers in our necessities, but ever deliver us from all dangers, O glorious and blessed Virgin. Mary Immaculate, Mediatrix of all graces,
pray for us.
Saint Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael,
pray for us.
All you heavenly powers, Mary's Legion of Angels,
pray for us.
Saint John the Baptist,
pray for us.
Saints Peter and Paul,
pray for us.
Confer, O Lord, on us, who serve beneath the standard of Mary, that fullness of faith in you and trust in her, to which it is given to conquer the world. Grant us a lively faith, animated by charity, which will enable us to perform all our actions from the motive of pure love of you, and ever to see you and serve you in our neighbor, a faith firm and immovable as a rock, through which we shall rest tranquil and steadfast amid the crosses, toils, and disappointments of life, a courageous faith which will inspire us to undertake and carry out without hesitation great things for your glory and for the salvation of souls, a faith which will be our Legion's pillar of fire, to lead us forth united, to kindle everywhere the fires of divine love, to enlighten those who are in darkness and in the shadow of death, to inflame those who are lukewarm, to bring back life to those who are dead in sin, and which will guide our own feet in the way of peace, so that, the battle of life over, our Legion may reassemble without the loss of anyone in the kingdom of your love and glory. Amen. May the souls of our departed legionaries and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We welcome your comments. Send them via email to legionofmary.internetradio@gmail.com. Again, it's legionofmary.internetradio@gmail.com. We would like to acknowledge the following who made this broadcast possible. Father Dillingham, pastor of the St. Mary of the Assumption Catholic Church in Hockessin, Delaware, United States of America. Tony McGinley of Oremus Communications, A.J. Loporto, who provided the music, and all the members of the Legion of Mary, Wilmington, Delaware, Curia. Thank you, and please listen again next Friday at 3 p.m. God bless.